Praise the Lord, everybody. We give honor and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to arise and be with you this morning. We thank him for just enabling us to be even enclosed in our right minds that we might be able to receive that which he has come forth to us, even through the discussion of those who might join us or be with us as we discuss certain issues coming from the perspective of what the Bible teaches. Before we go any further, let us pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you, thanking you, Lord, for being so gracious and merciful and allowing us to take part in this day that you have made, that we may have a part in it, and we are grateful for that. And as we continue through this day, Heavenly Father, even in this podcast, we pray that your presence will be made known and that you will instill within us, Heavenly Father, the wisdom and understanding that can only come from you. We're praying, Heavenly Father, that you will bless the words that come out of my mouth and bless those, Father, who are hearing them. That it be just what you would have it to be, for we know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and many times he confounds folks. In between the time words leave one's mouth and it comes into another one's ears. But we're praying, Heavenly Father, that you would direct these words, Heavenly Father, these even the thoughts, that it would be exactly that which you would have to come forth, and exactly that which you would have to be received. I pray, Lord, that I can truly be an instrument used in your hand to give forth that which you would have to be given to those that you have already designated to go to. We thank you. I praise you, and I thank you again for allowing me to do so. This I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to another edition of St. James Missionary Baptist Church's podcast. And for those who may be new to us, the theme of our podcast is very simple. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to, and at that point, that's when we usually instill the subject or the topic that we're going to be talking about, which so happens today, happens to be Jesus' return. Yes. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to Jesus' return? Now, I don't want to fool anybody to think that I have an inside track or that I'm getting ready to tell you when Jesus is coming back. That's not where we're going. Nope, that's not where we're going at all. We're coming to you with this question from two perspectives. Now, each one of these perspectives has their little subsets, but from two perspectives, and as simple as this. When I see this question about Jesus' return in the context that I'm getting ready to start, it's coming from two different main perspectives. One, does any time Jesus leaves the presence of man and then shows up again, does this count as a return? And secondly, now I'm gonna name them both first. And secondly, should the question really be about Jesus' return or simply how many times he initially came to earth? Now, why do I separate these two? Because there's a lot of controversy, a lot of scholarly discussions, a lot of theological discussions, and oh, it's been going on for many years. What do you mean? Well, we talk about when Jesus leaves the presence of man, and then we see him return back in man's presence. Does that mean that counts as a return? And what is and yes, what is usually first brought up is that, wait a minute, we see Jesus going into the temple as a young lad, 12, some say 13 or 12 years old, going into the temple, which, by the way, I'm not rewriting anything. I know what is popularly taught, but I count that time as public ministry because he went before a lot of folks and confounded them in the temple that this young lad can speak with not just the boldness, but the authority that he could before all of these religious leaders and those who were present in that temple. But that's again another discussion for another time. But then you say, well, it doesn't pick up again until Jesus is like 30 years old. Where was he? These are questions. And before we even go any further, me personally, when we search through the scriptures, when we have any kind of question, I don't care what it is, and when we diligently, let me rephrase that, diligently search through the scriptures, and that could be done simply just looking straight through the Bible with the aid of some resources. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the aid of people's opinions. I'm talking about with the aid of some of those who have done some legwork already and were able to make some things clearer to us. Basically like defining certain words we don't really know the meaning of. Some people may not know what it means to talk about the earnest of the land or what the eye of the needle really means. And there's some who have done that, searched it and researched it and found out what that means. We thank God for those who have done that we are able to take what they have researched, then come back and search through the scriptures and make sure that it is in agreement with what the scriptures teach, and we can move on with that. So yes, so when I say that other resources, I mean it in that fashion. I'm not telling anyone that they should just take what the word of someone says, their opinion, as gospel. The only thing that's gospel is the gospel. Having stated that, so many are saying, well, wait a minute. What was Jesus doing, or where was he at during those years? It's a question. And I'm not saying that that is my question, but that is what I hear and have heard through the years a lot of people trying to discuss and discussing. And they want to include that as being a time when Jesus left our presence and returned. What is my opinion, you say? Just because it is not shown to us in the scriptures what Jesus was doing, I'm not going to assume that he left anyway. We just don't have the record of where he was. We know he was somewhere. He came back publicly at the age of 30. He was somewhere. That's just looking at that. So, and then of course, there are other times in the scriptures when Jesus did leave. It's recorded that he did leave and came back. So that's that perspective. And then, and I said, well, should the question be about Jesus' return? Or how many times he came to earth, returned me that he was here, left, went somewhere. That's all I'm saying at this point, and came back. You can't return unless you were once there. Okay, I'm not trying to be, real deep with that, with this part. It's very simple. You cannot return unless you were once at the place. If you go to a place for the first time, you're not returning there, you're going there, or you're coming there, whatever way you want to look at it. So that's what we're saying here. Now, why is this a big thing with so many folks? Well, in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, when we start looking at, and just right there, I'm only in one place, that there's a number of places that we can and that you should go to when you want to really look into this issue of Jesus' return. Because the return in this context, when folks look at it, they think about when Jesus went to heaven and came back. Okay, let's make that clear. A lot of folks are saying, okay, well, his return means that he left earth and came back. You say, okay, well, if he left earth, that means that's when he ascended and went to heaven. Is it? Is it? John, the 20th chapter, in the 17th verse, and I encourage you to look at this chapter at your leisure. And those of you who are, I like to use the term scholars, simply meaning those of you who really look into the scriptures, and as the scripture leads you from one passage to another passage, that's what you do. I've always taught my students, even when I was teaching in the public school, and I do so now, do not be lazy with your reading. If I'm reading a passage, that means I need to go somewhere else to get further understanding. Go there. Go there. Don't be so caught up in trying to just read these verses. I got to read these amount of verses today and get through. If you're reading a verse and you're looking for understanding, and that verse takes you from one place in the Bible to another, then go there. That's where it leads you. You go there. Better for you to get that understanding of that one verse than to be so anxious to read these 10 verses or 5 verses or whatever amount of verses it takes for you to complete your reading for that day. Get the, don't deny yourself the opportunity to let for the Lord to give you further understanding and wisdom and knowledge of His word. To do that would simply be lazy. I'm just saying it as it is. I'm not saying it out of anger, but that's the best way I can put it. That's the way I've always told my students, do not be lazy when it comes to reading your word. You say, well, I made sure I read 2 chapters a day. That's not lazy. Again, rather 2 verses with understanding than 2 chapters of just pure volume. And I'll leave that like that. You see, in this 20th chapter, in the 17th verse, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You say, well, that's pretty plain. Told Mary, no, don't touch me. I haven't ascended yet. He said, well, that's pretty plain. But the problem arises. The problem arises. And let me look a little bit further in here. In the 19th verse, same chapter, just a few couple of verses down. It says this, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the same day, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were inside of this little hut or wherever they were with the door shut. G came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. All of a sudden they looked up. There was Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. Now watch this. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He wanted to let them know who he was. Not a counterfeit, not a phony, not some magician, It's me. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now watch this. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto you, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, this is the key. Now, watch this. Watch this in this 24th verse. Thomas wasn't with him, but he came on the scene a little bit later. And the other disciples said to him, well, hey, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him. Okay, and Jesus stood in the midst of them again, and he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, let me stop right there. Some men say, well, wait a minute. If he had allowed Thomas to do that, but he had told Mary not to touch him because he had not ascended unto his Father, that means at this point with Thomas, he must have ascended because he allowed Thomas not just to touch it, but to even put his hands in, put his hand in his side, his fingers in there where the nails were in his hands. Some of you say, "Whoa, this says a whole lot here." Now, I have seen this discussion come about many times. One of the main things that I've heard brought out is that when he told Mary, touch me not, he didn't mean don't just put your hand on me. But Mary, having seen Jesus, wanted to embrace him. And the word that they say here, use here, is interpreted, no, I don't want you to grab a hold of me. I don't want you to grab me up because I have not yet descended. Not simply don't touch me. I don't want you to grab me. I don't want you to embrace me. I don't want you to hug me. Oh, you're so glad to see me. And then, no, I don't want you to do that yet. I don't want you to do that yet. Okay. Well, some of you say, well, that could be important. But what about with Thomas? Well, also take note of how many days have gone by with Jesus. From the time he first appeared before the disciples as he was going down the road, that's because that was the same day he went down the road and saw the disciples in the house. Okay. I mean, they saw him and they were glad to see him, and everything was good. Now, I don't recall where when they saw him, they were grinning, grabbed a hold of him and embraced him like that. They were glad to see him, but we don't see that. So that seems consistent with the same thing he told Mary. That seems consistent. And then we say, well, with Thomas' case, well, we talk about 8 days later. Some of you say, well, he must have in those 8 days. He must have ascended. That makes sense. You see, when we look at it in light of the fact that he told Mary, don't grab me. I don't want you to grab a hold of me yet. Okay. I don't want you to get, no, don't do that. I'm just throwing that out there. You see, because you see, that makes sense. And for a lot of folks, the Bible has to make sense for them. to believe it, almost. And like Thomas, I have to have some proof. He said, well, that makes sense. So he has ascended. So now we're talking about a return here, aren't we? He said, well, wait a minute. If he ascended between the time of Mary and Thomas, yeah, we're talking about another return. Now you see where we're going with this? That's why this thing about Jesus' return is so important. You say, because you said it was commonly taught. Well, Jesus was born as a baby. Okay. Then he died, was resurrected. Talking about that return. We talk about his turn to set up into the millennial kingdom. So it's commonly taught two returns. But are we missing one here? Are we missing one here when it talks about between Mary and Thomas? Not trying to confuse you, but throwing this idea, provoking you to look deeper into the scriptures, because some of you, you know, are saying to yourself, wait a minute, there's something else you're not talking about here, Brother Cotton. And you say, well, I'm saying to you, what is that? Well, we know that Jesus was 3 days in the heart of the earth. Okay. And we also know that Jesus told the thief on the cross, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, between him going into the heart of the earth, going into Sheol, preaching, proclaiming to those there. Now that's not in a, some might say, being technical. Some dare use the word, well, I'm not even gonna go there. He left Earth. And we know that he came back. Is that not a return also? Because he told that thief, you'll be with me in paradise. And we know that he proclaimed, he preached before those in Hades, hell, as well as though those in paradise. So now some of y'all saying, wow, how do I put all of this together? This is what the purpose of searching the scriptures. It's not mysterious. It's not to confound you. It's that you can get deeper understanding for the answers that we seek, the answers that you're seeking are right before you in the scriptures. All you have to do is read it. All you have to do is look into it. The question is, how important is the Word of God to you? Especially in this case, when it comes to Jesus' returns. I'm not talking about coming to get his people and all of that, but you see where we went with this. How many times did Jesus return? How many times? Now you're saying, well, it don't matter. As long as he come back and get me, I don't care, and that's fine. This is just a question. For as the old saying used to go, for those inquiring minds, just want to know. This is what we're raising here. When it comes to the Word of God, there are many people saying, it contradicts itself and all that. No, it doesn't. You have to look into the scriptures. And you're going to have to look in more than one place many times for the what we call deeper things of the Bible to get deeper understanding. Now, if you are going to be, again, lazy with your reading and be satisfied, okay, with the little taste that you got, be satisfied with simply having questions about what you read, not really seeking the answers. That's, yes, I've been saying it several times, and I continue to say that's being lazy. Why in the world would you read the Bible and not desire, not want to have understanding of it? If you read a passage and that does not give you full understanding of what you read, continue. If it takes you from Old Testament to New Testament, maybe back to the Old Testament, and then to another passage in the New Testament, if that's what it takes you, then that's what it takes you. A lot of times you say, well, listen, I got 10 minutes. Let me look into the Bible, read, get my verses in there and go. If you're in that big a hurry, don't you might as well. No. Somebody say, well, a little bit of word is better than none. I don't know. No. I'm not going with that. I'm not going with that. If you're really thirsty, you maybe you in this heat and you're sweating and you're thirsty, a drop of water is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to quench your thirst. So why in the world would you want to just take a drop of the word to try to satisfy you? If you only have that 10 minutes, don't sit down and say, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible. What is your point? What are you reading it for? I'm just throwing that out there. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes? When it comes to seeking the truth, to seeking the answer to what your situation, what your problem, what your question is. Some of you right now saying, wow, I never gave it a lot of thought. I had never given it a lot of thought. When we look at how many times Jesus returned and what is considered him leaving to come back. Those, like I said, those are not a lot of questions, but those are all parts of the same question. My father, your father, your guardian, maybe they go out and go to work, and then they come back home after work. You say, and they returned. What, they returned back home? You say something else, say, well, hey, this is my guardians, they all, but they went out earlier, they went out hours ago, whatever, in the morning, didn't come back till the late afternoon or evening. They returned. But the question now hangs out there, where did they go? But they returned. The fact is that they left from here and returned later. Some of you say, hey, some left to return a day later, days later, a week later, a month later, whatever, but they returned. Where were you at? Where did you go? Some of you say, well, wow, Jesus left for a few days. Jesus left for 8 days. Jesus left for some years. When we see him again, he's grown. Where did he go? What did he do? Your inquiring mind wants to know. And as I said earlier, and I'll stand by this, when you have diligently sought, looked, searched in the scriptures for the answer to your scriptural, spiritual, biblical question, when you've used various reliable, let me use that word. I didn't put that in there before. Maybe I need to put that in there. Reliable resources. Let me qualify what that means. A reliable resource is one that can be confirmed in the scripture. It's not enough. Don't, it's too many people going by the word of someone. Because it sounds good. They may have so many degrees behind their name, so you assume that they must know what they're talking about. You're not taking the time to ask yourself the question, where did they get their knowledge? When you have sought diligently, this is what part of the word means, what the word diligent means, one of the definitions, when you have sought diligently, thoroughly, immensely, deeply, the answers to your question, and you have found those answers. And your answers are confirmed in the Word of God. Yes, you had a reliable resource because it led you right back to the Word of God. Then you've done your due diligence. That's what we need to do if the Word of God is important to us. That's what we need to do. Because always remember, okay, your faith comes by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not my word. Not anybody else's word. By the word of God. Doesn't mean I can't listen to what my father has to say, what my pastor has to say, what a good teacher has to say. Because all of these folks should have what they're saying confirmed in the Word of God. Then you know that they're reliable. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to Jesus' return? This was our topic for today. I hope and pray that it has provoked not just thoughts in your minds, but provoke you to look deeper, seek deeper answers to questions. Maybe that very question itself that's been on your mind. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy with your reading. Look into the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will teach you. You say, well, wait a minute. I haven't even, I'm not really claiming to be one of these believers or one of these Christians. I just want, to get some understanding of what the Bible's teaching. Well, that's another discussion. You can't have, I'll put it to you like this here. I have friends, buddies, pals, and so do you. And some of you are still blessed to have your parents with you, your guardians, wherever they may be. And some of you remember how it was coming up. And I say to you like this, my friends, my buddies, my pals, even cousins could not get from my father what I could get. What am I saying with that? Do not think that if you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get the same thing from him that his followers can. I'm just being straight and honest with you. Because it won't, sometimes the very things that they get won't make sense to you. And sometimes the very things that we, or the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we receive from the Lord, he's not offering it to non-believers. I'm just telling you straight. Now, what are you now you're asking us for these things you're talking about. That's another discussion, and I'm willing to have with you. Let me know. Let me know. Get a hold of us here at St. James Missionary Baptist Church. Get a hold of us. Contact us with your questions, your comments, your concerns. More than glad. Be more than glad to help you with that. God bless you. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. As you remember the question, as we say it again in our closing, how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to Jesus' return? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the understanding that you've imparted to us. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you've given us. And we pray that what we have spoken about has been pleasing to you and you're pleased with it. We hope and pray that there's some who have been enlightened and there's some have been encouraged and are seeking even more and more from you, even on this subject, in your word. So we thank you. And we pray that as we continue in this day, that as we do so living and walking in your spirit with our whole armor of God on, that we can conduct ourselves in such a manner that we'll be able to, one, stand against the tricks, the traps, and the attacks on us by Satan and his minions, and that we govern ourselves in such a manner that those who see us be able to look at us and hear us and be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you.